And on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast is Coach Cunningham, the man who helped orchestrate that. Coach, how are you? And thank you so much for joining us.
Dee, it's always a pleasure. I dropped everything for you. And make sure you say hello to Dad. And I have one other request.
Yes.
A friend of Dad's and yours, Bill Raftery, said, make sure you say hello for me.
I've completed that.
So when you see him, tell him I said it.
Well, I'm playing golf with him tomorrow, so I will absolutely tell him.
Oh, great.
Yes.
How many strokes do you have to give him?
I know. Can you believe he's starting to make me do that? I don't think it's fair. Before I get to questions, I have to say, please tell Sandra and your daughters and your grandkids, I hope they're all good, and that I was asking for them.
Everything. Everybody is good, sweetheart. Thank you so much. And hopefully your whole family is doing well and staying safe.
Yes, we're doing the best in some tough times,
yeah,
for sure.
Some tough times after last night.
Yes, absolutely. All right, can we go to a time that was a little different? And it was a while ago, but you're going into game four on this day back in 1983. You're on the road. You're up 3-0. How confident were you that a sweep was coming?
I had no confidence at all that that was going to happen.
Wow.
I had, I guess, coming close, because we had been to the finals a few other times.
Yep.
Knowing that any little thing that could happen could just throw everything out of kilter. And, Dee, it was kind of funny because after the game, I guess about an hour and a half after the game or so, I was in my room watching films. And Harold Katz comes by, and he's obviously excited, and I'm excited that we're up 3-0, don't get me wrong. And he said, come on, let's go have a good time, it's all over. I said, Harold, there's no way I'm going. You go have a good time. I got a lot of work to do. And fast forward, we get to the next day, and we have a shoot-around.
Okay.
And the one and only Al Domenico, who's not with us.
Rest his soul. God, I like that man.
Came over and said, we got an issue. He said, Moses cannot exhale. He got hit in the back and the rib, and it's affected his lungs.
Whoa.
And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. So I go over and I said, Mo, how are you feeling? Because we're going to take him to the hospital. And he looked at me and he said, don't worry, Coach. He said, Kareem doesn't want to see me anymore. And so thank God he was able to play the next day. And he was just off by one, that four.
Yes, four. That's right. That's
you
right.
Now,
I'm looking at the box now that you tell me he was not necessarily 100%. Of course, not the day before. He played 45 minutes.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right. He was an amazing athlete. He had an amazing mentality that he just truly believed that by the fourth quarter, he would have worn you out. And now he was really going to take advantage of you. And he did it so often, and especially on the offensive rebounding. There's never been a better offensive rebounder than Moses Malone in the history of the game.
Wow. And that night, he had eight of his 23 came on the offensive glass. That is, yeah. I mean, you speak the truth, which I didn't doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you, because when I went to the box, obviously Moses delivered. He had the 20-20, meaning 24-23. But Andrew, while he didn't shoot a high percentage, got to the line for you. He had 23. Mo Cheeks, 7 of 10. I wouldn't have even known he had scored that much.
Right.
And then, of course, Dr. J. So your top guys all delivered. Did you come to expect that from that group?
Oh, yes. Oh, there's no question. More so, not from the offensive end. We were truly built as a defensive ball club with our quickness. And the attitude was, I remember the day Moses signed with us, and I was sitting with him in New York City, and he's about to sign this huge contract. And I said, and I explained to him what we would want to do, and that was for him to dominate the defensive boards and get it out and let us run as much as we could. And then if we got to the set offense, we're going to look to get the ball into you.
Right.
And he said, Coach, that's what I expect to do for this team. And he truly produced as well as anybody could have in one season.
Yeah, I mean, amazing. I mean, and when you look at having been there, but not been able to get over the hump, so to speak, you look to him, and that's a lot of pressure on somebody coming into that situation, and yet he delivered on so many levels.
Yeah, and he was, when we first made the trade, we, Darryl Dawkins, Colville Jones, Steve Mix, left us that year.
Yep.
And many of the players on the team were not excited about that because we lost in the finals the previous year and actually had a real chance. But after like three days of training camp, they understood what he was going to bring to this team, that they, those three fine players, don't get me wrong, couldn't do. And that was a real physical presence, which we were lacking during that period of time.
Sure. One other thing I noticed was, you know, so it's a game that's going along, but in the fourth quarter, and because you mentioned that it was a team built defensively, you end up outscoring the Lakers 33-15. So I'm just curious if that was brought up before the fourth started. Look, we have to turn it up a notch defensively.
I think if you looked over the whole playoff series, the 13 games that we played, there might be one or two games that we were leading at halftime. It was almost like a leader like Julius Erving or the team would be like, okay, let's get going. And they knew exactly what they were going to have to do. And I think we had them pretty well prepared on what to expect when they went out on the court. And, you know, we hear of the great quickness and athleticism today, but if you look at Bobby Jones and Julius Erving and Cheeks and Tony and Moses, that's an awfully quick team.
Yep.
I can't imagine two better forwards or quicker forwards running a fast break than Bobby Jones and Julius Erving in today's basketball. So we really relied on that, and the players embraced it. They got great joy and satisfaction out of it. And to do that, it's a great deal of sacrifice. And they were willing to sacrifice a little of themselves for the team.
I'm curious of what it was like to bring then that trophy, the championship, back to the city of Philadelphia. And if you have any recollections of the actual parade, because that was a celebration in this city that everyone was a part of. And granted, it was a long time ago.
It was. It was first after the game. It was. I think I hear it from every coach that's ever won at any sport. First, it's a relief.
I can see that. Most coaches would definitely feel that.
Yeah, you know, with your dad and family, but
sure,
it's a relief, and then you're ecstatic. And I think I was more ecstatic. Not only for the team, but for Julius Erving.
Yes.
Because that put the seal on his career, a stamp of greatness that he had won a couple in the ABA, and he wins the world championship in the NBA and came so close several times. And in that game, it just showed his greatness because Julius in game four, it's something I remember, not all the things in the games, but he really struggled offensively in that game until the last 3 or 4 minutes. And I still remember the jump shot that he hit from foul line extended. And boom, that just put us over the hump, and it was all history from that point on.
Well, those are good memories for us, Coach. I appreciate your time. It's hard to believe it was 37 years ago, but it's nice to remember. And actually, you know, they did play the whole, all four games this week on NBC Sports Philadelphia. So people who maybe didn't get to see it or weren't alive back then got to see what a special team that was.
Yeah, and I had my granddaughter. She taped it for me, so I'm looking forward to when I get back to Philly. When that virus gets a little better, that we'll be back in Philly and get a chance to watch it myself.
Excellent, excellent.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.